Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Evergreen Storytelling Project. My name is Lyndon James, and today we have a special guest. He's a pianist, songwriter, and producer, and what you're listening to is his latest work. Meet Raymond Mobley. In addition to his musical talents, he's also a veteran, an Evergreen student, and in fact, one of the members of the production team for this very project. Ray and I met at his home studio, and in our conversation I learned a lot, not just about him, but about facing change, and how, in his words, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Everybody, my name is Lyndon James. I'm here with Raymond Mobley. Go ahead and introduce yourself, my friend.
Hello, I'm Raymond Mobley. I am a friend of Lyndon James.
Ray, how long have you lived here in Olympia?
I've lived here in Olympia for, well, since I retired. Funny story. I've been here for the past almost 8-9 years now. And I moved multiple times. I moved from Lacey to Auburn, from Auburn to Bonnie Lake, and from Bonnie Lake, I moved down to Lacey, and then from Lacey, I bought a house here in Olympia. So,
do you just like moving a lot, or
no military? I did PCSs, and I PCS about 3-4 times, and all of them were in Washington, and so I stayed.
So you, yeah, you've seen enough of the state.
Yeah, I.
So for those of out there who don't know, what does PCS stand for?
That is a permanent change of station,
right.
And that's when you actually the Army gives you orders and says, "Hey, we want you to go work here now." You know.
So you were Army?
I was. I was Army for 21 years.
21 years. How often did they have you move around?
Oh, quite a bit. Actually, it was. I think I made. Let me see. I can count them. I'll go through them. I joined the military. I was in Fort Lee, Virginia. Then I went from Fort Lee. I went to New York, Fort Drum, New York. From Fort Drum, New York, I went to Korea. Actually, that was my second tour of Korea. I did two tours of Korea.
Okay.
Then from Korea, I went to Texas. And from Texas, I came up here.
So where in Texas?
Fort Hood.
Yep.
Killeen.
Yep.
Devil shithole.
Yeah, I've proudly lived the clean life myself.
No.
So.
Yay!
Man, oh man, yeah, there ain't much there to keep a man happy, but there is sunshine. There is sunshine.
There's a lot of sunshine, but that you know, I had my recording studio, and I had people coming over to record a lot. So you know, I rarely was outside anyway.
Sure,
but
sure.
It wasn't that bad. Yeah, it was. There have been worse places like Watertown, New York. So
that was
extremely terrible.
Was it?
Yes.
What was bad about it?
Well, for one, the weather. I'll put this, if this puts it into perspective, our cold weather training, okay, Alaska came down to Fort Drum to conduct their cold weather training. So if that tells you anything, and if you look at the color of my skin,
yeah,
it would probably tell you I don't really like the cold weather. So I was not happy. The first winter there, thank goodness I prayed to God that I could come down on orders as soon as possible, and he listened, and I was only there for 1 year. So
yeah.
After 6 months, I got my orders after 6 months.
Yeah.
And I left there. And they were like, oh, the only thing we have for you is Korea. And I said, I'll take it.
Yeah, if it's not New York, I'll
take it. Yeah. I say, oh, I was gone.
You're looking at the weather reports before you
know. it was terrible.
Yeah. And so what, normally are you in a three-year rotation where you live?
Normally
time?
It's about 3 years.
Yeah.
It was about 3 years every time. I've been fortunate enough to stay, like Fort Lee, I stayed there for about 5-7 years.
Nice.
And then for drum, I left really quickly.
Yep.
Korea was only a 1-year tour. I did 2 of those, so that was 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Texas, I did stay, I believe, 3 years, right at around 3 years. And then I PCS from there and came here. And I stayed here, you know, forever. I loved it when I first got here.
Yeah.
And I said, I think it's where I want to retire. And that's where I ended up retiring, right here.
What made you want to retire here?
My wife. Mm-hmm. For one, she got me out and kind of, you know, showed me some different things that I didn't see here, like going up to Mount Rainier and mm-hmm. experiencing that, going hiking. I love the outdoors. I just don't like being outdoors when it's too cold or it's too hot. So,
as long as it's nice out, yeah, I love it.
I love it. Yeah, as long as yeah. it's nice. But, you know, but there's days I was sitting here like, what the hell did I, why did I decide to retire here?
Yeah.
And then the sun comes on, like, I know why.
Yeah,
you know,
I
know why.
That rain sticks around for 6 solid months.
Yeah.
And it you start to forget what you love about this place.
Right,
and then
right,
springtime.
Right.
Right.
And then I can get out on my bike. I can go cycling. I love that. That's what I really liked about here. I got some injuries in the military where I couldn't run anymore. So I started looking at other alternatives, and cycling was the other alternative for me, and I just went crazy with it, you know. I went absolutely bonkers with it. I fell in love with it. So
clearly you like to explore and get around.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I'm not a stagnant person.
Yeah.
And that's one of the challenges for me, is like, if I'm not doing something I absolutely love, I can't sit in the same spot for too long. That's how I'm wired. I'm wired to be able to go and do different things. And what's the great thing about the military is that every day I want to do something different. And I would find different things to do. I'd find different things for my troops to do. And when we loved it, you know, and it was part of our culture, just, you know, we would never want to harvest a bored soldier, because a bored soldier is a troublesome soldier. So we always tried to keep them busy with different things to do.
So the outdoors, riding your bike, those are all things you like to do here.
Yep.
But there was a moment when you knew that you wanted to stay here. When was that moment?
It was up at Mount Rainier. And my mom was here visiting. My mom came to visit, and we took her around. We took her to the Space Needle, and we had dinner there, and that blew her mind. And it blew my mind, because the bill came, and I was like, oh. I love my mama, but, you know, it was really nice to be able to go and treat my mom to something that I think she deserved. We went up to Mount Rainier, and I remember sitting in, we were at this one point where you could just look out. And I swear, it must have looked like heaven. It was just like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I said to myself, I never want to leave this. I never want to leave it, you know? I went back to Texas for about a month, just it was a training exercise.
And what was that like?
It was terrible. I said, how did I ever survive here? It was so brown and
flat
and hot and dusty, and I was said, I cannot believe how much I would miss Washington. And I knew in my heart that it would take a lot for me to get up and move from here. My daughter loves it here. She was born in Seattle.
Right on.
She's you know, she likes it here. I can't picture her anywhere else. And I'm just blessed because I was able to retire at the time I did, and be home with her, where she doesn't have to move, and she can actually have a really good life of having those friends that are going to be there for the rest of her life. Versus how I came up, all my friends are on Facebook, because we've all, you know, we come from the military.
You come and go.
You know,
you get a best friend for 3 years,
yep,
and then you got to make all new friends.
Mm-hmm. So. And the older you get, the harder it is. to do that. So
I believe it.
Yeah, it's really difficult to do that. I'm blessed also because going to school, I met you guys, and it's just, you know, it wasn't forced. It's not like we were like, well, let's try to be friends. We were automatically friends because we have the same interests.
Same interests.
The same amount of respect for each, for life, for same perspective. And I, you know, I can't think of, besides the military, I can't think of anywhere where I've had such great people around me.
Well, we also share the same passions in life, and that's really hard to find.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up an Army brat like you did, and, you know, I know that lifestyle. And I really do feel like this is a really good place to settle down. So let's back up. Tell me about your upbringing a bit.
My childhood was, and I'll tell you, it was really rough. It was really, really rough. The first 8 years of my life was, my parents were divorced. My dad got custody of me when I was 2 years old.
Holy cow.
And he was in college. So I had to live with my grandparents for 8 years. And they were old. And on top of that, my cousin, his parents were divorced, and he was living there with them as well. So I was the epitome of a broken home, but I didn't know it. I wouldn't have known any better, because my grandparents, they were really, like, I considered them my parents, you know, for a really long time. We lived out on a farm where it was, we grew our own vegetables. We grew everything.
That's cool.
Made our own syrup. We wanted potato chips. We made them ourselves. Some of the best food you ever have. But it was, you know, my father would come home like every weekend and he'd hang out with me. And always, he would always tell me, we're going to get out of here soon. We're going to get out of here soon. I promise you, I'm gonna give you the best life you can possibly have. And I was thinking, I'm like, this is the best life right now. I run around. I
make my own potato
chips. Yeah, make my own potato chips. You know, I see chickens get killed and I just eat them right out of the yard. And
right.
What could be better than this? I didn't know any better. You know, my whole life, that's what I knew. And he finished school. He became a doctor. And so, and he also was an officer in the military. And I remember him coming to get me, and he was so happy. He was like, he said, he came with this little Honda Civic. It was a red Honda Civic that later became my first car. Mm-hmm. And he said, pack all your stuff, you know, say bye to everybody. I said bye to everybody, but it was really hard for me because I was like, I didn't want to leave. You know, I didn't know anything.
That was your life.
That was my life. But he made sure that that wasn't my life. And he said, okay, we're going to go. First place we went was Alabama. And we stayed in Alabama for a little bit. And I swear to God, he worked his butt off. And it made me really independent because he worked so much. And I was still young. I would go to babysitters. I would go to summer camps. I started meeting these new people. I had to become socialized because I didn't know how to socialize with people for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bad that my dad used to take me to school, and I wouldn't even associate with him. I would sit literally in a corner because I was so scared to associate with anybody else.
Wow.
So
I'd never guess that about
you wouldn't, and a lot of people wouldn't know that because they're like, oh, you're so open. It was one of my times in my life where people were kind of concerned, like, you know, if you don't socialize, you're not going to really progress. And, you know, but I was just scared. I didn't trust a lot of people. And if you do like psychological stuff on people, their children today, I was missing all of the things that a child should have had, you know. But thankfully, I started going to school. I started going to summer camps. I started making different friends. I started trusting different people. My dad met a lady who became my mother. And I considered her my mother because she treated me like her son from day one. And I then remember us going to Hawaii. We went to Hawaii, And that was a culture shock because here it is, you know, now I came
from Alabama to Hawaii.
From Alabama to Hawaii. Yeah. From the backwoods of Florida to Alabama to Hawaii. You know, I was like, man, this is... But then I started this little job collecting golf balls. And I met a lot of friends. And that's when I first began to make really good friends. And so after Hawaii... We went to Panama. So, not only that, this is a true story. My English was so bad that my dad had to make it a point. He said, I'm an officer in the Army. I'm a doctor. You have to change the way you talk. I sounded like an old Negro slave. I swear to God, I did. Because that's... My grandfather was an old Negro slave. My great-grandfather was an old Negro. That's... That was them.
Yep.
He was, like I said, he was trying to get me to become a more well-rounded person.
Well, so more refined.
More refined, yeah. So here's the kicker. The only way for me to have, I kicked the habit of my, the talking habit I had, I learned Spanish. I learned Spanish fluently. I learned Spanish to a point where I forgot English.
Wow.
My mother was from Panama, if you see that little placard up there.
Yeah,
That's where my mother was from. That Panama Canal was where my grandfather worked for years. He helped build the Panama Canal, and I used to stay with them. None of them spoke any English. I used to love staying with them because I would go and play soccer with the. I was in the middle of Panama. Just no one knew I was English. I was American.
No.
They never knew I was American for the longest time until I, I'm an American. And they would always say, there's no way you're an American. Because I spoke Spanish fluently.
Yeah.
I respected the culture. I ate like a regular Panamanian. I dressed like a Panamanian. And so...
You are a Panamanian.
I was, yeah. You are a Panamanian.
You are.
Yeah.
You know? You're also an American.
I am.
You know, you fit so well that they didn't believe you.
They didn't believe me, no. And but that they also respected that, too, because they say a lot of people don't come and just adapt to another culture, you know. So then I had to relearn English. That's why I talk like this now, which I didn't think was going to be a bad thing when I got older, because then people started to say, oh, why do you sound white? What does that mean, you know? you know,
I think they call that a Midwestern accent.
Yeah, I never got it or whatever. But yeah, that's the way I've always. Then my family would call me from the backwoods of Florida. They call and say, "Hey, you know how you doing?" I talk to them like, "No, we put the other guy on the phone."
Yeah,
right. You know, this can't be the same. Yeah, they used to call me Junior. But yeah, and then I went to Germany. I grew up in Germany. I actually started writing music, producing music over in Europe, got a contract over there. I played football. I was like the number one player in all of Europe. I was, and then I had to make a decision because they said, hey, we got this recording contract for you, or do you want to play football? And I had a long talk with a lot of people, and they said, well, at least with the recording contract, you'll have more life left to you besides playing professional football. So I chose that route. This is the route I chose. And I said, I think I want to go and do something like that because I really enjoyed it. But it really hurt because I really love playing football.
Oh, yeah.
And then equipment, everything was really expensive. The contract was really kind of shady because the record owner was... He was the guy that was involved with the whole Milli Vanilli deal that was going on. I knew about that before it even came out.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I was in the studio where the real performers actually performed the song. My childhood after that was beautiful. You know, I got to go to all these different places. I had my prom in a castle. I was, you know, it couldn't have been any better. And I always look back and I always say, you know, I talk to my wife a lot and I'm like, you know, I'm from where I've come from. I'm so proud to be where I'm at, you know, and it took a lot of hard work. It took a lot of going through a lot of thorns, but I'm so fortunate to be where I'm at right now.
That's amazing. I mean, you were given like enough experiences to travel the world, learn to be independent, have an example of someone who works hard, and even, you know, go through the experience of heartbreak, you know, mm-hmm. having your parents separated, having to accept a new mother, all that stuff. I think in the end, it really does make you a more well-rounded person.
Well, my real mother, I talk to her all the time. Matter of fact, I just talked to her like yesterday. Because she's really supportive, but what she always tells me is, I'm glad I made the decision, or we made the decision, and I let you stay with your father because he raised you better than I ever could have. And I'm glad, and I respect that, because it's hard. I know for a parent to let any child go, whatever, for years I was really upset because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And we have a relationship now, and you know, she'll call me if she needs money or whatever, and I send it to her because she's still going to be my mother, you know. And so I have a relationship with her, and I let her know that, you know, as long as you respect me and you don't lie to me, and we can have that relationship, and I'll help you out in any way I can,
yeah. You
know, but just don't ever lie to me, or you know, or the deal's off. You know,
yeah. And
my stepmother, she still understands, and my real mother knows that I consider her my real mother because of, you know, just the role that she played in my life. You know, no disrespect to her, but that's how life was. You know,
she gave me
the upbringing that I needed to be successful.
That's good. So maybe we should jump forward now. Mm-hmm. You know. This whole project that we're doing together is to help other people understand the culture that Evergreen has, help people understand the process, you know, and just a little bit of what to expect when they get here. So how did you come across Evergreen, and what piqued your interest?
I fought going to Evergreen for almost a year because my wife went and she said, oh, you know, you should check it out, and you should. And I said, no, I'm good with going to school on post. I was really not ready to deal with civilians. I was really reluctant to go to any school that people weren't exactly like me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was afraid that I was not going to be able to cope with that. And let alone have people cope with me. I needed to decompress before I just jumped into it. So that's what
sure,
I did.
Sure.
I continued to go to school. I had almost 104 credits. I had 104 credits at another school. And my wife says, hey, you know, they have recording arts and science there. They have audio engineering. And
she knew your weak spot.
Yo, my goodness. And I said, no, they don't. She brought me a brochure, and I looked at it, and I was like, you know what? I think we'll go check it out. I went to the campus, and I was like, you know what? This is a really nice campus. And I said, the people there, I was like, you know what? These are regular people. They're regular people. They don't, you know, everybody says it's a hippie college or whatever, and I didn't see that at all. I saw a lot of veterans there, and I saw a lot of people just like me.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a lot of people who were like me before I joined the military and people who were like me after.
There's a ton of, I mean, it's, I can understand people saying hippie college.
Yeah.
We do have people that lay in the grass on a regular
right.
basis,
mm-hmm.
and some without clothes. Not very often, but
yeah,
there, more than not, there's a lot of very, what you might call normal people, but city folk, veterans,
mm-hmm.
older, younger,
mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of them are passionate about finding out what they want to do.
And you know, Lyndon, I think that was the one thing that when I first went to my first seminar and I said, I think I'm really going to like this. I was there with you, as a matter of fact, when we were with Brenda Hood. And
that was your first quarter?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
And I'm not kidding you. That was my first quarter. Yeah. I
had no idea.
Yeah. So we have this thing in the military. We say adapt and overcome. Okay, you get in and you fit in, and you don't try to ruffle any feathers or whatever. It wasn't necessarily I was just trying not to ruffle feathers. I just respected the people that were around me so much. When we went around the table and we started talking about, you know, what our interests were, I found out that's how I met you.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's exactly
how, that's how we met. Yeah. And I was like, wow, these people are just like me. Then I, you know, I met Ron. He was ex-Navy, you know, and then Julia, she was older. She was in her 50s. And, you know, then we had the younger people. Even the younger people were, you know, really smart, really intelligent. And the difference was going to the other college, I could go into a classroom, sit there for an hour, 3 hours, and not talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Pick up, leave.
Very easy to do.
Very easy to do. This college, I talked with everyone.
Because you are required to.
Because you are required to, which is a good thing, because it lets you understand and know people and respect them, because you don't just put up a wall and say, oh, this person's just this way, I'm not going to associate with them. And it opened my eyes to say, you know what, we are all the same, no matter if you are gay, lesbian, no matter what, straight, whatever. I'm as straight as hell. But I'm going to tell you, I can get along with anybody, because I don't even see that anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't even faze me anymore, you know. And I know that people are wrapped around, you know, their sexuality. And but to me, it's about so much more. You see the person as a person, yeah, and not as their sexuality or their race or their age.
Right.
That's what's so special about it.
We have all these differences, but, you know, I think our education has given us the opportunity to also see that everyone is connected in one way or another, you know, so that I think that really makes a special kind of community there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the alumni at Evergreen are very active in the Evergreen community, and they're all over the place. They're all over the world. In fact, I got into Evergreen through a security guard position. I worked at the Tacoma campus for a year and a half, and that whole entire year and a half, they slowly convinced me to start going to the school. But I remember a map they had there, this world map, and they would put a pin wherever an alumni member was. Mm-hmm. A ton in the U.S., of course, but I think in almost every country around the world, there was a greener there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all connected.
Yep.
You know, so
yep,
that's wonderful. Any interesting stories from the college?
Interesting stories from the college? Oh, man. Well, besides the one that you... Oh, Dave came into the studio, and we were about to have a session, and he had this flustered look on his face, and I was like, hey, what's wrong, man? He was like, I just parked, and I was walking through the parking lot, and... there's a guy sunbathing on his truck. I said, oh, okay, well, the sun's out. And he was like, well, he was naked.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have nothing on. He, like, I said, nothing on? He said, nothing on. Like, he sack hanging over the, and I was like, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting. But, you know, it just goes to show you that people are kind of open-minded, I guess. When the only thing I was concerned about was, well, what if I have my daughter? Because sometimes she comes to the studio with me or whatever. But yeah.
I think he lost his way to the nudist beach, because we do have one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few naked folks down there, but I think legally they're not supposed to be naked in the parking lot.
No, they shouldn't be. So, they shouldn't be.
But yeah, definitely an interesting place.
It's a really interesting place. You know, I've come to appreciate the fact that I'm gonna be an alum of the Evergreen State College. You know, the fact that they took all of my credits, I took 20 credits in a semester and I graduate in June. And I, you know, I couldn't be prouder to say that, you know, I've gone to a 4-year college and got my bachelor's degree from this school. You know, it's been an honor. And plus, it's right down the street from me, too.
So you're a senior this year.
I am. I graduated
in June. You graduate in 2 months?
Yep. Yep.
Wow. Is it frightening, or is it something that you're ready for?
It's something I'm certainly ready for. I am ready to graduate.
You don't seem like the scared type.
No, I'm not too scared. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's absolutely nothing to be afraid of. When I made the decision to retire, and I took in my paperwork, and everybody was like, wow, isn't that scary? I'm like, no, it's actually exciting. You know, I'm going, and one chapter of my life is going to close and another one's going to open. And I learned from the time I was 2 years old that chapters are going to close and chapters are going to open. It doesn't always necessarily mean it's going to be something bad on the other side of the book, you know?
And change is never easy, but that's exactly what that difficult lifestyle gave you.
Sometimes change is necessary.
Absolutely.
And it's not easy, but if everything were easy, we'd do nothing, you know?
That's right.
So, I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful for everything that's happened in it. I wouldn't change one thing, you know? My dad calls me all the time and says, I'm sorry, you know, he apologizes for sometimes not being there, you know, as an officer, he's not there a lot. Yeah. And as a doctor, he's certainly not there a lot.
Right.
But, you know, he was there when I needed him. At least I could say I had a father,
yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
He was providing for me. He was showing me different things that I needed to see in order to become who I am.
Yeah.
So, and for that, I'm grateful. So I wouldn't change a thing.
So I'll wrap this up then. Last question. Graduating in June, what do you have in view? For your upcoming chapter?
I think I want to give back to the veterans. I want to either work at Evergreen, go and work in the veterans department, and helping veterans transition and go into school, helping them with their benefits and things of that nature.
And sneak into the studios
still.
To use those.
Yes, to use those as much as I possibly can, because I love the state-of-the-art facility. So, of course, I want to use it as much as I can.
Yeah.
And if not that, then I'm still doing music, and I really want to make a really strong push to actually putting something out, you know, whether it be with another artist or you or anybody else. I really want to put something out, something for sort of the public can hear and have.
So I lied. I have one more question.
Go ahead.
You recently told me that you made a major decision in your life. Why don't you tell our listeners about that, if that's okay?
Oh, that decision that's quite okay. I talked to my parents about it yesterday, too. And I talked to my parents about talking to you about it, because it was just that emotional for me, because it was really a hard decision. I think harder than leaving the military. So I decided that I no longer wanted to be an artist in the music realm. I wanted to only produce, because I know where my niche is right now in the market, and that is production, and that is a monster in itself. And
oh, yeah.
To give credit and the respect to music, I decided that I'm taking a step back and letting others, you know, have some creative input in my productions. And with some of the things that I've worked on, and when I've decided to do that, they've come out 100 times better. So it's once again, it's a chapter that I close, but it's given and made way for something more positive and more beautiful.
Yeah, and that says a lot about your individual strength, that you don't only invite change, but you welcome it so much that you're able to make these hard decisions that you spend a lifetime deciding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you gave up football to mm-hmm. be an artist. You were an artist through your entire military career. You were an artist afterward. That's why you're in school now.
Right.
And yet here you are redefining your dream every day.
Yeah.
I think there's something to be taken from that for everybody. You know, you're a shining example of how change really is something positive. So, Ray, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, man.
You and I got to get some dinner. So.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate you letting us use your studio here at home. This is a wonderful setup.
Thank you.
It was an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, man. Thank you.